Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 5. Ways in which the deceitfulness of riches seeks to operate. Topic E. The exaltation of possession. One aspect that gives strength to the deceitfulness of riches before some people is the attempt to act precisely in the areas to which human beings feel very attracted. And the desire to own or possess riches is a point that strongly attracts many individuals. And although the exaltation of possession is very similar to the desire for rights and privileges, possession is more concerned with issues of owning or dominating wealth, while the aim for rights and privileges may also be for less objective aspects, such as, for example, having the right to be happy that many people advocate having. Because of the exaltation of owning or dominating riches, many people in the world even prefer having possessions over having riches legally or with the right recognized by others over them. And this happens because many believe that the ownership of properties gives them a condition of superior status, security, or even domination over others. Returning, then, to one of the temptations that the devil presented to the Lord Jesus Christ in the desert, we can clearly see the exaltation of possession as one of the strategies of fascination. Texts that we show once again below. Matthew 4:8-10. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Plus. Luke 4:5-7. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." On the other hand, the temptations that the devil presented to Christ also expose the characteristics of the devil himself and his way of acting. For example, in the text cited above, we can observe the arrogance and ostentation of the devil regarding the alleged possession of the kingdoms of the world and his claim that he was free to give the kingdoms to whoever he wanted. Nevertheless, the devil is a liar and uses word distortions in everything he utters, which is also one of the weapons of his attempts to entangle people in his deceitful propositions, as also shown below. John 8:44. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Thus, the temptation that the devil presented to Christ is not limited to the offer of riches to Christ but begins with an attempt to introduce a view where Christ, because of the possessions that would supposedly be conferred on him, would be in a superior condition to the detriment of the subjugation of others. Therefore, the hook or trap in the fascination of possessions is rarely associated with just the aspect of having a certain wealth. Instead, it is often also associated with a suggestion of increased power for the person to whom the possession of riches is offered. The powers of darkness are usurpers, thieves, and attracted by having possessions and properties, through which they try to grow in power and dominion, for they do not obtain them by gift or right according to the truth granted from the heavenly kingdom. Similarly, although many people claim that they aim for growth in possessions for their own good, there are people who also grow in their evil and harmful actions in their lives as they add possessions to themselves. And this occurs because seeking to make material possessions their own strength and power of life is an attitude of corrupted conduct in God's eyes and harmful to those who adopt this practice. An aspect exemplified in the following texts. Ecclesiastes 5, 13. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun, riches kept for their owner to his hurt. Psalms 52, 7. Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. The devil boasted before Christ, presenting to the Lord a vision of ownership or possession over the kingdoms of the world. The devil presented a proposal that was supposed to grant high power, but which had no consistency regarding a true benefit. And just like the situation described above, so are all the propositions of the deceitfulness of riches. That is, their propositions claim to offer benefits, but they hide that the result of association with them is for the destruction and not the edification of lives. In this way, the possession that for many has an appearance of such great value can become, in many cases or situations, an impediment to achieving the possession of what indeed has value for eternal life, which is to do the will of God, mentioned in the texts that we present again below. Matthew 19, 22-26. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. 1 John 2, 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Thus, when possessions are exalted or elevated to positions that are not appropriate for them, people put themselves in a problematic condition regarding these exalted possessions, for the fascination with possessions aims to subject people to be also dominated by the desire for possession and by what they own. And when the attachment to a possession moves into the sphere of fascination or deceitfulness, this attachment may begin to drain a person's life force so that one lives for the fascination and no longer for God. Proverbs 1, 19. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain, it takes away the life of its owners. If a person comes to think that it is because of one's possessions that one can accomplish what one wants in life, and not because of the grace, love, strength, power, and provision granted by God, one may think that one is the possessor of several goods and riches, but, in reality, one is a slave to them since one can no longer see oneself achieving the goals one wants if one does not have the possessions one thinks one needs. On the other hand, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he did not come in the flesh into the world to obtain power and dominion through possessions and properties, but he came to serve people and to offer the power of God's salvation on behalf of human beings. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to take away people's benefits and possessions. On the contrary, he came to add what they had long lost, namely, the possibility of reconnecting with God and being guided by the Lord by grace and not based on possessions, sacrifices, tithes, offerings, or human works to try to earn God's favor. Therefore, God can and does grant possessions to the people who are in the world for them to do good or fulfill the Lord's designs, but the possession is temporary and should always be seen as a joint possession with God aimed at the purpose of carrying out the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ, in speaking about the possibility of doing the will of God, declares that it is in the Lord that he could do all things, whether he had an abundance of possessions or was faced with a shortage of material goods. Philippians 4, 12-13. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Furthermore, When the devil presented the deceitfulness of riches by offering to grant Christ the kingdoms of the world, in addition that he was also lying about this because he is a liar in everything, the devil wanted that Christ, because of the undue exaltation of possessions and properties, exchanged the one to whom Christ was subject from eternity for a new lordship. An aspect that shows that prostration in worship before someone also confers possession of the worshipped one upon the worshipper. Thus, many propositions of possessions may be accompanied by glamour and splendor, but they may likewise be accompanied by the aim of subjecting those to whom the possessions are offered to those who claim to grant the possessions to others. That is, in the world, there are many offers for people to come to have possessions of riches at the cost of cruel and vile subjection to those who offer the assignment of possessions or other aspects associated with them. And in the scriptures, there are several texts that warn Christians not to let themselves be involved in supposed freedoms that are not real indeed, as some that follow below. 2 Peter 2, 17-19. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Romans 6, 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? 1 Corinthians 7, 23. You were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. Added to all this, we still see that the Lord Jesus explicitly warned his disciples intensely about the vile fascination that the thought of possessions and properties may cause in people and what is a central element that acts in it, as follows. Luke 12, 15. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Therefore, also concerning this topic, we understand that the primary focus of a Christian should not be on having or possessing material goods but on being Christ's, for what good is it for a Christian to have possessions if this implies that one ceases to be of the Lord Jesus? Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Christ, kept in him, the Christian receives what one needs for life according to the will of God, which is always good, perfect, and acceptable. Why, then, would a Christian make the attainment of so many other possessions a goal of one's life if everything one needs is already his or hers in Christ and his instruction? In this way, as we saw similarly about rights and privileges, the problem of possessions occurs when someone wants to have them dissociated from fellowship with God, according to their own intentions, or not according to the will of God and in the appropriate measure that the Lord wants that a person has them. Finally, in this topic, we also highlight that, according to the scriptures, the desire for possessions is closely associated with human vanity. Thus, it is also because of vanity that people so often allow themselves to be hooked by the insatiable desire to possess riches, which, in turn, leads them to run after what they cannot retain forever instead of inclining their hearts to seek the Lord and His will for their lives. Let us see below, then, some of the actions that a person is willing to practice under the motivation of vanity. Ecclesiastes 2, 4-11. I made my works great, I built myself houses, and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants, and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Therefore, when granted by the Lord to a person, possessions, rights, and privileges are for one's help or to cooperate with one's life, and not for people to glory in them before themselves or their fellow men. The gifts bestowed by the Lord are for people to use them with gratitude and praise to God and according to the instruction of the Lord's will. 1 Corinthians 3, 21-23. Therefore let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Any possession of material goods is transitory. And if one is favored by the Lord to have it for a specific time, one should also use it beneficially as long as there is a useful purpose associated with it. However, as soon as any possession loses its usefulness and comes to oppose God's will in a person's life, it should also be discarded or adjusted according to the Lord's instruction. For, emphasizing this point once again, the principal possession of the Christian is to have God as the Lord of one's life and also to be the Lord's forever. Thus, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Job 1:21. And he said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews 12:25-29. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.